This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for September 23rd, 2011. I'm Natalie Pinchem. I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery today. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are trauma, traumatic brain injury, and vascular disorders. Hypertonic saline for treating raised intracranial pressure. Literature review with meta-analysis. A review article by Martin Mortazavi and colleagues. Hypertonic saline has emerged as an alternative to mannitol for the treatment of intracranial hypertension. However, there are no consensus guidelines on how and in what concentration it should be used. 10 prospective randomized controlled trials, 1 prospective non-randomized trial, 15 prospective observational studies, 10 retrospective studies, and 5 case reports were identified in this literature review. The number of patients in each type of study was low, and the methodologies used were not consistent. In some studies, hypertonic saline was used as a drip, and in others as a bolus. The majority of the studies suggest that hypertonic saline is more effective than mannitol in lowering the number of episodes of increased intracranial pressure. The meta-analysis of data showed a lower treatment failure rate with hypertonic saline compared with mannitol. Safety of early endovascular catheterization and intervention through extracranial-intracranial bypass grafts. A clinical article by Omar Masood Kawash and co-authors. This report examines the feasibility and safety of endovascular access through recently created extracranial-intracranial bypass grafts in 5 patients. In 3 patients, the superficial temporal artery branch, or stump, was used as the bypass conduit, whereas an interposition saphenous vein graft was used in the other 2 cases. Endovascular access through the bypass became necessary in all 5 cases for treatment of intracranial vasospasm. A total of 14 endovascular procedures was performed at intervals spanning 2 to 18 days following the bypass surgery. The interventions consisted primarily of proximal access through the bypass graft by using intravascular catheters for intraarterial infusion of vasodilators. No instances of anastomotic disruption or bleeding were encountered. However, significant catheter-induced vasospasm of the graft itself occurred in 2 patients in whom the superficial temporal artery served as the bypass conduit. This complication was not encountered in patients with saphenous vein grafts. The authors conclude that endovascular catheterization of a bypass conduit within days of its creation is feasible. However, if a bypass is needed in the setting of a subarachnoid hemorrhage, in which there is a high likelihood of vasospasm requiring subsequent endovascular interventions, a vein graft would seem to be the better option for safe and effective endovascular access. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.